Well, Fusion, so great to be with you. My name is Bo. I'm the lead pastor of our Fusion community. So glad that you are here with us. To any guests or visitors, welcome. Thanks for joining us tonight. To my Fusion family, great to be with you. A lot of great stuff happening across the life of Christian Assembly. A lot of great parties going on. Women's ministry has a party. Gen Z has a party. If you are a Gen Z woman, you are dialed right now. A lot of good stuff coming your way. If you're a man who's over the age of Gen Z, hope you got some leftover turkey that you're enjoying still or something, but it's going to be a good month of December as we celebrate Christmas. Hope you all had a happy Thanksgiving. I know I certainly did. I ate great food with my family. The Cowboys and the Longhorns both won, so I have, you know, much to be thankful for right now in this season. You know, I look forward to Thanksgiving and Christmas all year long. I love the holiday season. Unlike some of you sinners out there, I refrain from Christmas music or Christmas movies till after Thanksgiving, right? Like how Jesus intended it to be. And then once that Thanksgiving meal is finished, we put on the soundtrack of Jesus's birth, the NSYNC Christmas album from the late 90s, and let the holiday magic wash over us. But year after year, it seems like I can't wait for the holidays to get here, and then I blink. And it's time to take the lights back down. It's time to undecorate the tree. It's time to move the tree to the curb and then spend the next 4 months vacuuming up pine needles out of my living room. Another Christmas come and gone. Another holiday season come and gone. Another year come and gone. And each year my kids get older and it seems like we all just get busier and more distracted. But Fusion, I don't want to blink and miss the holidays this year. More than that, I don't want to blink and miss any more time in my life. I remember as a kid in my family's living room, we had a ceiling fan. And I don't know what ceiling fan parts were made of back then, but that thing was on for like 12 years straight. It's like we didn't have an off switch. That thing just ran and ran and ran in our living room. And I remember being a kid in our living room and watching the blades spin around. And every now and then I would try to isolate one of the fan blades on it and see how long I could follow it around. And when I just looked at it, it looked like a solid fan spinning, but I would try to isolate one and watch it go around as many times as I could. But inevitably, I would lose track of it and it would turn back into one big solid blade again, so it seemed. The older I get, the more I experience time like that ceiling fan. It goes and it goes faster and faster. And every now and then, in a moment of clarity, I realize, okay, I should really focus on this moment. I should really try to slow down and be present in this moment because I want to lock in this moment in my mind. But inevitably, time whooshes on and I lose track of just how fast things are going in our world. But I want to be present this year, Fusion. Present to God. Present to my family, present to myself and the state of my own soul. So as we launch into the holidays this year, I want to take a few moments tonight and look at a teaching from Jesus that is all about how do we stop worrying about yesterday and tomorrow, and instead, how do we live in this present moment that God has for us. In fact, here's our big idea tonight. You got a bulletin on your way, and I encourage you to open it. There's some points for us, some blanks for you to write down. I want you to write this down. Here's our big idea for our time together tonight. That in between should have and what if, there is a life to be lived in this present moment. In between should have and what if, there's a life to be lived in this present moment. Would you pray with me? Lord, we love you. God, we thank you for this Thanksgiving week that we got to celebrate with our family and loved ones and give thanks to you, Lord. God, I pray that we would choose a heart of thanksgiving all year long. And as we enter this Advent season, this Christmas season, the season of expectation, Lord, we can already feel it ramping up with the Black Friday sales and the pressure and the parties and the events and the decorations and all of these good things, Lord. It already feels like it's speeding up on us. So I pray now, Lord, that we would slow down in this moment. Teach us to experience all that you have for us in this present moment, we pray. Fusion, if you would be willing, would you just take a moment and pray for me as I prepare to preach God's word to you? So, Lord, we turn to your word now and we listen for your voice in this present moment. Free us of distractions, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Matthew chapters 5 through 7 capture Jesus' longest and most significant teaching. We call it the Sermon on the Mount, and it's just really Jesus giving us a picture of what life in the kingdom of God looks like. And in chapter 6, he speaks to a distracted and a worried mind, which according to statistics would be nearly all of us today if the most recent data on anxiety and depression are true. Here's what Jesus says. We're going to work our way through part of Jesus' teaching. In Matthew 6, he says this. Therefore, I tell you, don't worry about your life. Easy. Thanks, Jesus. Like, I hadn't tried that. Like, okay, great. Don't worry about your life. What you will eat or what you will drink or about your body, what you will wear. Isn't life more than food and the body more than clothing? Consider the birds of the sky. They don't sow or reap or gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Aren't you worth more than they? Can any of you add a moment to his lifespan by worrying? Here's the first thing I want us to learn about being present in this present moment. Number one, write this down. Worry will add nothing to your life, but will steal everything from it. Worry will add nothing to your life, but will steal everything from it. Jesus says that you can't add a single second to your life by worrying, and yet many of us know that worry will steal joy in our ability to be present where we are with whomever we find ourselves with. You know, worry is really, I think, directed in two places. I think it's mostly in our lives directed at the past and at the future. Worry over the past, it so often looks like regret that should have. And regret is a horrible carousel that too many of us choose to ride time and time again. Anyone here ever woken up at 3 a.m. and decided it's time to relive all of the worst moments of your life that you can possibly think about, right? That awkward thing that you wish you hadn't said, or the car that you scraped in the parking lot that maybe you didn't leave a note for, sinners, when you left the parking garage, the mistake you so badly wish you could undo. I can be so prone to spending so much time looking in the rear view mirror. And in doing so, I completely miss all of the blessings, all of the good things that are happening right now in my life. I have a gift for finding the worst things to focus on from my past and sinking into the abyss of regret. Fusion, can we just trust that Jesus has covered our past? Can we do that together? That if you are in Christ, your past has been forgiven. Your sins have been atoned for. The should-have moments do not need to haunt us any longer because they have been covered by Jesus. And yet so often we can focus on regret and it steals our joy from this moment right now. I think the real struggle that we have can be with forgiving ourselves, with letting ourselves move forward from those should-have moments that we have in our past. I remember years and years ago, I was struggling with regret at one point in my life, and I was taking a day retreat at the Mater de la Rosa Retreat Center up in the foothills in Sierra Madre, which is a beautiful place where I go regularly to spend time just to pray and get quiet. And I was just wrestling with regret and shame and not being able to let go of some stuff from my past. And I was sitting, it was August, it was like 116 degrees out there. I was sitting at the foot, outside in the sun, at the foot of a beautiful statue of Jesus crucified. They have a way of the cross where you could follow. I was sitting at this cross, looking up at Jesus, just wrestling with this guilt and the shame from my past. And in that moment, I felt Jesus speak to me. It's almost as if he was speaking to me from the cross. He said, "Bo, if I don't hold your sins against you, you don't need to either." How often do we hold stuff against us that God has already let go of? The other way I think worry shows up is in anxiety over the future. We worry about the past with regret, and we worry about the future with anxiety, over the unknown, playing out possible scenarios in our head, and that usually in our mind end up in the worst possible case. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Isn't it funny how rarely we imagine things going great for ourselves, but we often imagine them going as bad as possible for ourselves? I've been experiencing this myself lately. And Fusion, I just want to be open and candid with you for a moment. Some of you know that preaching has been a strange thing for me over the last couple of months. I had a situation where I was dizzy a couple of weeks ago, and I've just been processing through all of that. And the truth is, as I've been praying and talking with wise leadership and all of that, I realized that I've been fighting anxiety and what can only be described as intrusive thoughts when I'm up here preaching. I don't experience them any other time in my life. It's just when I'm up here preaching. And I was talking with Matt about this, and Matt shared with me this super encouraging story about George Whitefield, one of the great preachers of church history. And there's multiple accounts where Whitefield was preaching, and in his notes it says that he stopped. And he said, "Church, I need you to pray for me because I am assailed with blasphemous thoughts in this moment." So this is something that preachers will sometimes experience, where just thoughts come in and I just can't seem to get over some of these intrusive thoughts. And it's been a problem for me. I get caught up in my head while I'm up here trying to communicate with you, getting just obsessed over hypothetical situations that may or may not ever actually end up happening. And I hate it because it's stealing my joy and my ability to be present up here doing something God has called me to do. In Fusion, hear me. It's stealing joy from me doing something I love. Love to do. Preaching God's word to you, Fusion, is my favorite part of my job. It's something I want to do often and with excellence. And worry has added nothing to my preaching experience, but it's stolen joy and focus from me. I just want to, you know, kind of close the loop on this. I want you all to know I'm doing okay. Thank you for your thoughts and your concern and your prayers. I'm talking with a counselor about it. I have a psychiatrist that I'm working through some of this stuff on. Our church leadership is aware of the situation, as is the Fusion staff. And I'm grateful to be surrounded by such an amazing community, including all of you here. But I find that worry is just adding nothing, but has the potential to steal everything. But Jesus says, don't worry about your life. Which, of course, sounds easy coming from him, but for those who struggle with worry, either regret of the past or anxiety and worry about the future, that seems like a pretty tall order. Like, boy, I would if I could. Like, if I could just rid my life of worry, that would just be great. Then I could be present all the time. I wouldn't miss anything ever. But let me just remind us that Jesus understands our situation. He knew who he was talking to, both the immediate crowd there gathered at the Sermon on the Mount, but I think Jesus knew he was going to be talking to us in 2023 as well when he says these words, "Don't worry about your life." He knows we're going to struggle with worry. What he does, though, is reminds us of something. Look back at verse 26. He says, "Consider the birds of the sky. They don't sow or reap or gather into barns, yet our Heavenly Father feeds them." And then I want you to underline this in your bulletin or your Bibles. "Aren't you worth more than they?" he says. Fusion, you are worth more than the birds of the air to your Heavenly Father. He cares deeply for you. And I think the starting place to ridding ourselves of worry and learning to be present wherever we find ourselves is to remember just how valuable to God you are. how loved you are, how cared for you are, how seen and known you are. Don't let worry steal your joy and ability to be present. Instead, remember how valuable you are to God. Because of that, you can trust him with your past because it is covered, and you can trust him with your future because it is in his good, scarred hands. Let's read on in Matthew chapter 6. Jesus says, "And why do you worry about clothes? Observe how the wildflowers of the field grow. They don't labor or spin thread. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was adorned like one of these. If that's how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and thrown into the furnace tomorrow, won't he do much more for you?" Underline that phrase. Won't he do much more for you, you of little faith? So don't worry saying, "What will we eat?" or "What will we drink?" or "What will we wear?" For the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. The second thing I want us to note about ridding ourselves of worry so we can be fully present in this season is this. Number two, God knows what you care about, and he cares about it too. God knows what you care about, and he cares about it too. Look, the key to ridding ourselves of worry and of hurry and all that's going to rob us of this present moment, the goal is not to stop caring about things. The goal isn't like a Buddhist asceticism that like seeks to rid all pleasure of our lives so we can achieve some new level of enlightenment. Rather, God knows what we need. He knows what we want, and he knows what we care about. And when our desires intersect with God's desires for us and his will, that's where he blesses us. That's when he gives us everything that we need. The key, though, is that our desires and what we care about must line up with his. If we're desiring and caring deeply for things outside of his will, it's not reasonable to expect him to just bless us with things that are going to harm us. When I was 15, we were living in Oregon at the time, and when I was 15, I got my driver's learner's permit because I wanted to learn how to drive and start driving at 16 because, this will shock those of you from California, most places of the country, you start driving at 16. Here in LA, it seems like you're like 18, 19, 20. It's like, I might start driving sometime soon, but where I grew up, we started driving at 16, so at 15, I got my permit because I wanted to learn how to drive. And at the time, my dad drove a 1991 white Camaro, and it was awesome. It was just like just picture just like the denim jacket sitting on the hood. Like, it was a great car, and I wanted to drive it. It was a beast. It was fast, and it was cool, and I was like, "Dad, I'm driving that Camaro." And my dad was like, "We're going to start you on the minivan, son." Like, he wouldn't put me in the Camaro. He put me in our 1996 Dodge Caravan to start learning how to drive. Why? Because he knew I wasn't ready for the Camaro. I could, first of all, barely see over the wheel because it was a very low car. Much less could I handle the power and the speed of that car. He knew that car was going to hurt me, not bless me. I was going to wrap that thing around a telephone pole if he let me loose with the Camaro. So he held it back from me until I was ready for it. There will be times when God doesn't give us what we want. And it's not because he doesn't care about it or care about us, but it's because he knows what's best for us, Fusion. He knows and he cares about us, and he cares about what we care about. I have three kids, and they are into Pokemon right now, like really into Pokemon, like obsessed and a little concerning to me, like about the time that we're spending on Pokemon right now. I wasn't ever into Pokemon. I was a little too old for it when it hit the scenes in the late 90s, and I just missed it. I didn't really know what Pokemon was for most of my life. But now I have these kids who want to talk about Pokemon and play Pokemon and watch Pokemon, and they just want to talk about this freaking Pokemon all the time. And I find myself in a place I never expected to be, where I am learning all about Pokemon. And I'm starting to care about this thing that I was not previously concerned with or even aware of all the time, every day. Dad, what's your favorite Pokemon? I'm like, oh, what's the little yellow one? Yeah, that's the one, yeah. Yeah, that's, I'll take that one. Yeah, like, but we talk about it a lot. Why? Why would I care suddenly about Pokemon? Why would I spend money on toys and trading cards and video games? Because my kids care about it. And it matters to them. Fusion, God cares about you. He cares about your situation. He cares about your finances. He cares about your career, about your relationships, about your family. What's important for us is to submit all of those things, all of these parts of our lives, all of those areas that cause us to worry and to miss out on this present moment. Submit all of it to God, trusting His good plan and in His good work. Look at what 1 Peter chapter 5 says. He says this, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that He may exalt you at the proper time, casting your cares on Him." Why? Because He cares about you. You put your cares on Him because He cares about you. What are you concerned with tonight, Fusion? What cares are you carrying? Would you remember tonight that your Heavenly Father cares about you and what you care about? And when we submit our cares and our desires, when we humble ourselves, like Peter says, under His mighty hand, when we submit to Him, He'll give us everything that we need. Reading on in Matthew 6, Jesus says this, "But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be provided for you. Therefore, don't worry about tomorrow, because tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." Anybody have enough trouble for today? I got enough trouble today. I don't got to worry about tomorrow's troubles. I got stuff today I need Jesus to help me with. Here's our third and final point tonight to help us be present in this present moment. Number three, our ability to be truly present in this present moment is rooted in God's character. It's found in His character. If you look at what Jesus calls us to seek, it's God's kingdom, which is His reign and His rule. It's Him being in charge and running things. It's His righteousness we are called to seek. It's not our ability to control our emotions. It's not our capacity to block out certain things. It's not our ability to avoid stressful situations. The key to being present is not avoiding things that stress you out, because none of us can do that all the time. It's to seek His righteousness. Look at how Jesus ends this section. He says, "Each day has enough trouble of its own." Like, that's really encouraging, Jesus. Thank you very much. Like, I would prefer if it were to say, "And don't worry, I'll get rid of all of today's troubles for you." But that's not what it says. Why? Because Jesus lived in reality. And He knew that we were also going to live in reality. He knew we were going to live in a world of worry, a world of regret, a world of anxiety, a world that will seek to rob us of the joy of being fully present in this moment and in this season. But His invitation to us in the middle of that kind of world is to experience His peace. And to be fully present in the reality of who our God is and of His presence and nearness to us. Do you know anybody who you would consider to be a calming presence to you? Do you have anybody like that in your life? Someone who, when things are going crazy, when they're going bad, you just want them near to you because their very presence brings peace to you. Do you guys know people like this? I have some people like that in my life. And when things are going crazy, I just want to be around them because having them near me seems to lower my blood pressure. It's amazing what a calming presence can do for us. Fusion. Jesus' answer to the worries of this world are to seek God's righteousness, his very presence and his activity in your life. He is the ultimate calming presence. The trick, the goal for us is to learn how to feel and experience him in all moments. I'm so prone to turn to other things to find comfort and peace. But sadly, they never deliver what they promise, do they? What do you turn to when you find yourself worrying? Drugs or alcohol, porn or sex, food or video games. I don't know what it is for you. But whatever it is, as we enter this Christmas and this Advent season, would we decide now that rather than numbing ourselves from the worry we experience, would we choose that moment to be the moment that we seek God's very presence with us? Which is, after all, the Christmas story. That's what it's all about. That's what Jesus means. Emmanuel, God with us. Aiden, would you join me up here? Fusion, there is a life to be lived in this present moment. And can I just remind you that it is a beautiful life that God has given us. This is a beautiful world. I'm aware, I know, there are ugly things in it, there are painful things in it, there are wars and there is hatred and there is pain and there is sorrow, there is crime. I'm aware of all of that. But this world is also filled with beauty and blessing and joy. This is God's world still. And it is a beautiful world. And this moment that he has brought us to in our lives is a beautiful moment. It's probably got some pain in it for you. I know it does for me. It might have some sorrow, might have some grief. But the moment that God has brought you to is one that he wants you to be fully present in right now. This Christmas season, it doesn't need to be rushed through. It doesn't have to be numbed away because of the pain that maybe it surfaces in you. We can be present, fully present to God, to our families, and to our own souls. But worry will never do that for us. Remember, worry will only steal. It will never add to your life. Remember that God knows you and he cares about what you care about. So submit your cares. Cast your cares on him because he cares for you. And remember that ultimately our ability to be present, it's not found in our ability to control things, but rather our capacity for seeking God's character and his presence in our lives. Would you pray with me? Jesus, we ask you to help us be present even right now in this moment, Lord. For the worried mind in here, for the distracted mind, for the mind carrying many cares, Lord, help us to cast those things on you. And we cast them on you, Jesus, because we remember that you care for us. Even right now, with your heads bowed and your eyes closed, if you find yourself worried about many things, just even for a moment, just focus on the truth that God cares for you. Be consumed with that thought right now in this moment, Fusion. He cares for you. Whether you are a follower of his or not, he cares for you. Whether you messed up recently or not, he cares for you. Whether you have it all together or not, which by the way, you don't, he cares for you. So Lord, as we enter this Christmas season, God, we cast our cares on you. And instead, Jesus, rather than worry, would you teach us to seek your presence, to seek your character, your righteousness in our lives. Help us to be present to what you're doing, to the good blessings and to the loved ones and the family and the community around us? And would we be present to our own souls, to how we're doing internally, Lord? Teach us to experience your moment, to live in your presence this season. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Fusion, would you stand as Aiden leads us?